Hello and welcome to the show. This is Ross Laguza, and for over 30 years, I have consulted on hundreds of high-stakes, complex, bet-the-company kinds of civil cases all over the country. Along the way, I've worked with thousands of the best lawyers, trained hundreds of fact and expert witnesses, and yes, participated in numerous jury selections. Today, I'm your 15-minute jury consultant. During the episodes of this podcast, I hope to provide trial lawyers, law students, jury consultants, basically anyone interested in the jury decision process with strategic insights, best practice tips, and plain talk designed to help you take your persuasion game to the next level. Consider these goals that a typical trial attorney might aspire to during jury selection. I want the jury to like me. I want the jury to trust me. I want to show the jury that in some way I am just like them. I want to indoctrinate jurors to my case. I want to make sure that jurors don't say anything that will prejudice the other jurors. I want to extract promises and commitments from the jury to listen to the evidence. I want to ask simple questions that jurors can answer yes or no. I want jurors to honestly tell me if they can't be fair. I want jurors to think positively about my client. I want to identify jurors that will be good for my side. These goals are not the right goals. None of them. Not one. Pursuing these goals wastes valuable time and cheats you out of the information you really need. The only goal you should ever have is to identify jurors that want to kill you. These are not neutral jurors or leaning jurors. These are the roughly 10 to 15% of any sample in any venue who want to take you out, and they want to take your client out. These killers won't be persuaded. They're hardcore, but they are not always obvious. Some are quiet, shy, bookish. I've heard lawyers describe people that are quiet as furniture. Don't worry about that person. They're going to be furniture, meaning they won't really participate. Quiet jurors make the best killers. They get on juries because lawyers confuse shyness or taciturnity with harmlessness. And quiet jurors can get very noisy by the end of a case, especially during deliberations where it counts. And remember, these killers, they come in all kinds of packages. The people you think are conservative, underneath that veneer can be a bubbling cauldron of dangerous attitudes and beliefs and life experiences. The people who look like your worst nightmare, the people you're convinced must feel a certain way, might be your strongest advocates. You just can't tell by looking at people. We don't care what jurors look like. We care what jurors believe. Focusing on what jurors look like will be grossly misleading. Don't fall for it. The goal is, or should be, to find people at the extreme. The jurors at the extremes are the ones you're looking for. Those are the ones that want to kill you. Those are the ones you can't persuade, no matter how good you are, and you need to identify them. That is the goal. That is the only goal that matters. How do you identify these jurors? First, you have to understand that juror decision-making is a function of key attitudes and values, not demographics, not the color of their handbag, not the book under their arm. It's their attitudes and values that drive their behavior. You want to carefully craft open-ended questions where a person can speak in sentences, and these questions address these attitudes and values, and you identify those attitudes and values ideally through the process of empirical research, testing the questions in advance with surrogate jurors who are similar to the kinds of people you're going to be talking to, and you evaluate these questions empirically, and you look to see which ones actually, in combination typically, contribute to the likelihood that someone's going to be a dangerous juror. You don't waste time asking any questions that are not part of your strategy. You don't need warm-up questions. You don't need to ask about tangential issues. If you finish all of your target questions that are empirically based, again, in the ideal, and you have more time, you can ask all the throwaway questions you want if you feel inclined to do so. Have at it. During Voir Dire, you want to spend more time listening than talking about the issues of the case. You want to give jurors plenty of space to answer your questions. And when you are lucky enough to find a killer, linger with them. Don't run away. Don't try to shut them down. Give them as much line as they will run with, even though they've probably blown themselves up and will get off for cause. Use them as a template for other jurors to compare their thoughts and feelings. Does anyone else here feel the way that Joe does, that auto manufacturers place profit over safety? That's great. You want to know that. I know attorneys who are petrified that jurors are going to say something negative about their client, something awful, and that they're going to contaminate, and that's the word they use, they're going to contaminate all the other jurors. And I say, nobody is that easy to convince. Nobody is. When someone is being negative, embrace it. It's a gift. Oh my goodness, what a gift. And you should let them know you are so delighted that they are sharing their thoughts, no matter how negative they are. I once was working for the plaintiff, and the plaintiff was a very wealthy individual who had spent a great deal of money on the finer things in life. He had a castle. He had his own plane. And he would think nothing of flying his dog from Europe on his own plane so the dog could see a vet back home when the dog wasn't feeling well, and many, many other things. And the lawyers were concerned, representing this guy, that jurors would dislike him because he was so rich and so flamboyant. So what I told them to do is, I said, well, don't hide from this. It was an open voir dire, it was state court, we could do whatever we wanted. So I said, let's just start listing all the things that he does. And as we go, ask jurors what they think about that and whether they could still judge somebody fairly if they knew they had a castle. And we just went incrementally. About halfway through this process, jurors were totally on board with the idea that, first of all, it's all about the American dream to be successful and to have lots of money and to spend it, and that they were not going to prejudge this individual just because he lived a lavish lifestyle. So by the time we got to the end of the plaintiff's voir dire, jurors were extremely excited about this guy, and dog lovers were going nuts for him. And so when the defense started, their plan, of course, was to, for the trial, actually, was to show how this guy, this rich guy, and he didn't follow the rules, and he wasn't a good guy, and he wasn't deserving. But what we were able to do during voir dire by focusing on the negatives is we got the jurors to embrace those negatives as okay, and that's something that they were not going to hold against him. And keep in mind, once again, you're looking for extremes. There's too many, in any sample, there's too many people who are moderates or leaning plaintiff or leaning defense on basic questions. There's too many. You're going to run out of strikes before you run out of all the people you want to strike. So concentrate on looking for the extremes. Those are the ones that you cannot get to. Now, if you want jurors to feel comfortable telling you the truth, you have to be genuinely interested in getting to know them. They know you're not like them. You're better educated, probably. You're richer, probably. You run in different social circles, probably, than just about anyone that ever comes in for jury service. But you can convince them that you really are interested in what they have to say, no matter what it is, if in fact you are. Being interested in another person is the highest compliment you can pay them. And it works in jury selection too. It's not a manipulation if you really sincerely feel that way. So really listen to people, paraphrase their comments to make sure you have it right. Doing this helps them sharpen their answers and lets them know you are really interested in getting it right. Share your concerns with the jury. Show your vulnerability. You know, let them know that you know that there might be biases against your client and that it's hard to talk about it. But let them know that you're there for that. You want to hear everything. And you won't take it personally, and your client won't take it personally. Don't waste any of your time condescending to jurors or appearing to, talking about how being a homemaker is the hardest job in the world. Jurors know what you're up to. They don't like it. Don't try to affect local accents unless you're local. Jurors know what you're up to when you are not being genuine. And when you're putting on an act, they see through it very quickly, and it's not worth it. It achieves nothing. So be yourself. Be yourself. Show the jury who you really are. Don't pretend to be someone. Be who you actually are. And that's the fastest way to get people to let their guard down and start telling you things that approximate the truth. If you can't be genuine with them, why do you think they'll be genuine with you? It doesn't work like that. There's so much valuable time that gets wasted during jury selection doing things that don't get us the information we really need. Some clients think voir dire is for winning the case or sensitizing jurors to the issues of the case. I once was in a case where it was really important to the lawyer to win the voir dire. So he basically, and it was a state court, so he was allowed to pretty much do whatever he wanted. And he basically gave his opening statement to the jury. And then he quickly learned that there were a lot of people who thought he had a great story. But unfortunately, they also identified themselves as now biased because they believed his story, and they wanted his client to win. And so they truthfully said, well, now I'm biased. And it was very painful to watch over a dozen great defense jurors strike themselves because the lawyer wanted to win the jury selection. You don't want to win a jury selection. You want to find the people who want to kill you. Don't help the other side. We're not trying to help the other side. And we try to find people who are good for us or to convert people on the spot. We're only doing the other side's work. Once you've done the best you can identifying people who want to kill you, if you have extra time, there are various things that you can do to try to encourage jurors to think critically about the evidence. You know, that's a special form of indoctrination. It's not trying to convince them that your client should win. It's trying to prepare the jury to look at the evidence with a critical eye, to look at the evidence in a more flexible way rather than an all or nothing way, which tends to work in the favor of the plaintiff. In every profession that I can think of, people practice. Golfers, famous golfers like Tiger Woods, always practiced. Michael Jordan, always practiced. Pavarotti, always practiced. They don't just step on stage, step on the court, step on the field, whatever it is, without ever practicing. But lawyers feel they shouldn't have to practice their voir dire. I don't know why. I think it's because there is this expectation that the lawyers are great at voir dire naturally and they don't need practice. But you know what? You do and you should. It really, really helps to practice and to practice scenarios that make you feel uncomfortable because not everyone is comfortable doing voir dire. Sometimes the lawyers are more nervous than the jurors are about the whole thing. And it is kind of a stressful situation talking to a group of strangers and asking them to tell you what their biases are. That is potentially problematic because people think you're telling them there's something wrong with them. And you know what? People with strong biases don't feel like they're biased. They just think they're right. Thank you for joining me for this episode. If you know a lawyer or anyone who you think will like this show, please share it with them. You can send email with questions that I may address on future episodes to rlaguza@themomentconsulting.com. The email address is in the show notes. Take care.